This we believe with all our heart, because God said it, therefore it is right, and therefore it will be so. When the Lord says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again and receive you unto myself, that you are there where I am also, then this is yes and amen. Then this is right, and about this we rejoice. Only Paul has written to the Hebrews that also the Old Testament saints, without us, they could not be made perfect. And so we also have to wait until from all ages, all whom God has chosen are called out, and everything can reach its climax, its finishing, and its completion. Together with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with all men of God, with all children of God, and with all the heaven, we will then praise and sing unto the Lord. How grateful we can be for the revelation of His Word and of His will. I believe His Word becomes more and more precious to us. With me it is like this. And you all know, we have since many years, we deepened ourselves into the Word. We also found out that we often translated sermons, and suddenly many things became very new to us. It became great to us. We saw the connections anew of the plan of salvation of our God. Also for this, we are grateful with all our hearts. When the chorus was suggested, this is the day, I had to think on the word from Nehemiah 8. I just want to read it quickly and then we come straight away back for a few minutes to the letter to the Ephesians, maybe also to the letter of John. In Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, second part from verse 9, and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. You can read on if you like. What a wonderful word. A day that the Lord has made. Whoever reads everything and knows the context, he knows what it was about. The Feast of the Tabernacles was newly celebrated. The people returned. It was a special day, a day that God has made, a day on which promises were fulfilled. For God had said, after 70 years, I will bring you back again. The time was come. They returned. They rebuilt upon the old foundation. They taught the people, and they praised and worshipped the Lord. The time of our Babylonian captivity is over. We returned. We cleared up the old foundation. We found the old foundation walls. Thanks be to God for it. And it is written in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 probably, another foundation no one can lay except the one that was laid, and this is Christ. We are so grateful to God that all the things that were buried, that were covered with so many interpretations, they have been taken away, and we may see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just accept it from the mouth of the Lord, that also we, through this word, shall be comforted and straightened up and encouraged. Be still, don't weep anymore. This day is holy unto the Lord. And when I think about in how many charismatic meetings exactly this chorus is sung with all might, this is the day, this is the day. I think Brother Schmidt, he can remember it well. When both of us drove to Düsseldorf and heard there the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen, Demas Shekerian, an old friend of Brother Branham, and they sang this chorus there. And somebody there had the courage to give a prophecy from 2 Chronicles, 2020. He prophesied this verse. Believe in God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. This was the prophecy which was brought there. Nice charismatic meeting. And you can imagine how both of us felt there. One can say things without that it is being understood what it is about. We may, as a little chased away flock, which has found nowhere a resting place, for we come only there to a rest where God can come with us into the rest of God. And this rest is only there where he can reveal his word. But at such meetings, thoughts are coming to your heart and mind. There one really speaks, quick as a shot, and proclaims to the people, hear me, thus saith the Lord, hear me, and ye shall be established, and hear me, then shall ye prosper. And no one hearkens to God, and no one hears the prophet whom God has sent. And the president says, we come from various churches and denominations, but the belief in the divine Trinity unites us. Then you of course can imagine what again went on within us. What went on within us. Beloved, I don't say this to criticize. God knows my heart. I say it only to emphasize what grace it is that we, being rejected and despised by the people, that we may be here and hear the true words of God by revelation of the Spirit, believing them and getting them revealed in our hearts. We said it already this morning. Anyone can repeat any verse of the Bible as often as they like. The Pope can say, it is the will of God that we are all one. And then he gives the direction, and then this is the unity. But what unity? Most certainly not the unity of God. I probably have to show you still one word today, what unity this is and what follows then. But here, we are grateful for this word. So they stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy." It was a day that was holy unto the Lord God. This is written here in verse 9. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. A day on which God has done something, on which he brought back his people and put everything in order. And then it says, "Don't be grieved and weep not, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." I want to say the same to us today. This is the day that the Lord has made. This day is holy unto the Lord our God. It is this time for which prophets and apostles were longing for, to experience, to hear, and to see what we hear and what we experience. And when Brother Branham made the statement, if God would have asked him, what time would you choose to live on earth? Then he said, I would have chosen this time in which I live. And now he also was taken home without to see the final thing. We are still here today. We don't know how far we will still experience everything. But one thing is certain. Should I not experience the completion anymore? One thing is certain, that all will experience it, also those who went before us. For thus it is written, we who are alive and remain will not precede them who are asleep. For they will rise first, and then we who are alive and have remained, we will be changed. So God will bring the matter to a close quite justly. One will not experience perfection sooner or later. All who went already before us, they have to wait until the time has come. And then we will experience it together. So faithful is our God. It would not be so nice if some would already rejoice and we would have to suffer affliction here and would have to still stand trials. They wait in paradise until we also join them and the perfection can take place. Receive this word into your heart. This is the day that God has made, so that we hear the word of this day, namely the promises which God has given for this time. And by it, all true children of God, at all times, felt their connection with God, and they knew that they are led by the Spirit of God, because they not only knew what God has done in times past, but also that what he has done in their time. Brother Rus read again the wonderful word from Ephesians 3. I heard it here in the prayer room, and I said to myself and to the Lord, Is it actually still necessary to preach a sermon when such a word of God is being read? Is this not a sermon which could last for 24 hours? Here everything is contained. What is missing in this sermon? Everything in it. A summary. Paul was a man of God to whom it was given to summarize things in a nutshell, to wrap it up. And we may today, if we wanted to deal with every single verse and with that what is being expressed in it, then we truly could speak about every verse at least 1 hour and seek and find the corresponding scriptures. How wonderful when it says here in verse 2, Ephesians 3, verse 2, it is being said, if ye have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God that was given to me for you. I ask myself, who is managing the grace of God? You have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God that was given to me for you. What a grace! Paul knew everything is grace and again grace. Every revelation, everything what was given to him, everything was grace and nothing was deserved. And he knew that in this grace of God, which he experienced, that there were things to manage for all who were pardoned by God. And here is the secret that Moses expressed already toward God. If I have found grace before you, then let me know your ways. Paul found grace before God. The Almighty let him know his ways and his doings. If we found grace before God, then God lets us know his way with his church today. To find grace before God means to walk with God, to hear his word, to have part in that what he's doing now. Not only what he did 100 or 1,000 years ago. In verse 3 it says, how that by revelation, amen, hallelujah, by revelation, not at the feet of a Gamaliel, but at the feet of Jesus Christ, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. He probably refers to the first two chapters. This is here chapter 3. He says, as I wrote afore in few words. In verse 4 it says, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. This was not in his head. This was his life. It was his life. Therefore he could say, in him we live, we are, and have our being. Not only a doctrine, it was his life. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. I believe we can say the same of the sermons of Brother Branham, without exaggerating, without understating. We can say, from that, what God has given to him, we can see the inner connection which he had with God, from which revelation flowed to him. and know that God spoke to him and that he spoke through him. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what was said. In verse 5 it says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here we have again a verse that should be read to some. How many there are who just say, if one says to them that God does not change his ways and that he spoke in our days through a prophet, my goodness, then they run away and think that we have some kind of Russell who founded the Jehovah's Witnesses, or a Ellen White who established the Seventh-day Adventists, or a John Smith who founded the Mormons, or a Mohammed. Such prophets we don't need. These were false prophets. But God had always messengers, men, prophets, whom he called. But I will tell you what they do. They quickly refer then to Hebrews 1. And there it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And then they say, this is past, this is over. In these last days he spoke unto us by his Son. And then they make a full stop. But where does God make a full stop? Where does God end? Where people stop, there God only begins. There where the Old Testament stopped, there the New began, or not. Oh my goodness, it penetrates me to the utmost insight. And then they also find Luke 16:16, to their own harm. The law and the prophets were until John, and from that time on the kingdom of God was preached. And then they say, here you have it. Yes, here we have it. Amen. Oh, here we have it. With great joy we have it. Yes. God has spoken through all the prophets until Malachi. And then the thing started to be fulfilled. With John. And then with our Lord. But the Lord himself said in Matthew 23, I will send you prophets and wise men, and some of them ye shall kill and persecute. The same God says, I have set into the church apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists. You can read it. Acts 13. In the church at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Everywhere, the whole Bible is full of it. How must we read God's word? By revelation, not with a prepared opinion, open in the presence of God. Only then we will understand how the ways of God are with his people. And when he then even says, behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Elijah was a man who has brought about a decision among the people of God, and this at the time of the evening sacrifice. Also here one has to read the Bible precisely. God has given time for all the people, to the 400 Asherah priests, to the 450 Baal priests, and they had time all day long. But at evening time, there was God's time. The hour of the prophet was the hour of God. And he rebuilt the altar of the Lord. And then it got down to business. If the Lord is God, then serve him. If Baal is God, then run after him. Serve him. The hour of decision was come. When Paul speaks here of the mystery of God, then we can do this today with the same right. Not only of one mystery, the mystery of God in Christ, but in Him are hidden all mysteries of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. In the revelation of Jesus Christ is everything what God can reveal to us. In Him, everything was given to us. We don't want to go more into detail, just one more thought. Here it says, in the last part of verse 9, maybe all of verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In God, the Creator of all things, it was hidden. But suddenly, when God revealed Himself, also this hidden mystery of God began to unfold. It began to be revealed. And this is the sum of all, that what God, before the foundation of the world, planned and intended to do, this took then shape. It began then to be realized. And thus we see the plan of salvation of our God. Nothing for the head, but everything for the heart. For God said, My son, give me your heart. What did Brother Branham say in that one sermon? Satan takes the head and begins with arguments of various kinds, like with Eve, and entangles us in a conversation. And this I tell you, when Satan comes to us, then not with a quote from a newspaper or a magazine, but always with the Word of God. Also to the Lord, He came always with the Word of God, but taken out of context. He wanted to overthrow Him, to make Him fall, and He used the Word for it, to tempt Him. The same Satan is doing today. And thereby we always recognize whether it's the Spirit of God and true inspiration, or whether it's the enemy who wants to use the Word to destroy and to make you fall. Then verse 11, oh how wonderful it sounds, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Also Paul sees already a completed thing which He accomplished. There's no doubt anymore. Not maybe He will succeed, maybe not. Which He accomplished. And here I cannot do otherwise but to think on Romans 8. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He also sanctified. He conformed them to the image of His Son. And then Paul closes with the words, who will bring any charge against God's elect? I know who wants to accuse them. That's what he is here for, namely the accuser of the brethren. I've said it here before. When he will be thrown out, then I will jubilate. And I believe all who have overcome through the Word of God and by the blood of the Lamb. When this one will be cast down, I don't want to mention the name that I want to call him. When this one will be cast out, then I will jubilate. Then I will jubilate. Sometimes one asks himself why God permits him, but God is a good God and He permits all things. And after all, everything must serve for His glorification. This purpose that he purposed in eternity, he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And it goes on, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Free access. The veil was rent. The way is free. Don't let anything get in your way. Satan will try it. With you, with me, with all of us. And he can also try it so that we would be in one another's way. Don't permit it. Ignore everything and have your eyes focused on the Lord, who said, when I will be lifted up from the earth, then I will draw all scattered children of God unto me. Has he drawn you? Just as he was lifted up, so you are also a bit lifted up above the things of this world, and then you will no more stumble over it, but you will be able to overcome and walk on the way of the Lord. Now Paul says here, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Not to be discouraged. Sometimes hours come in our lives when we feel lonely, and not only that, when we feel abandoned, misunderstood, and really when we don't know what to do next. Whoever did not experience this yet, he will still experience it. And in these many years in which I preach, I heard people say, Brother Frank, you said already many years ago, whoever did not experience this yet, it is still to come for him. Some have said, everything is all right and enjoy. And they thought, this will not happen with me. And then they came and said, you said at that time this and that. I didn't want to believe it, but then it happened. The evening crowns the day. We are still all on earth, and everyone has to stand his trials. But if we know that he has become our high priest, and that he entered with his own holy blood into the divine sanctuary, and the blood remains on the mercy seat until the perfection of the bride church has come to pass, then the blood has done its work. And then the mercy seat turns into the judgment seat. Then the time of grace is over. Then God settles the accounts. Here we have another word. We spoke about the life and then a short comparison with death. Here in the Epistle of John, you all know John was the loving disciple of Jesus. At least they say so. Whether it is so, is it written in the Bible that he was the favorite disciple? Or does it say that he laid at his chest? Also here we must read very precisely, whom he loved in a special way. Somehow John was very nigh to him. All right, I'm glad about it. But we can also be nigh to the Lord. And he was that man who was somehow so touched by the love. Paul has written about gifts, about ministries, about many things he wrote. The main concern of John was the divine love. And I believe that he was so much penetrated by this divine love that he lived it, that he wrote of it, that he preached it, that he was a part of that, what he has said and written. There was a word here that I wanted to read, namely 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's about knowing. Many believe, but this is not enough. His Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we have become children of God. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. We must go back here to chapter 1 and must read in 1 John chapter 1. Yes, one has to read from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. What was it? Which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. God manifested Himself in Christ for our sake. The life, the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. And then it says of our Lord, in Him was life. Here it says, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. John writes the same, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John continues to write, in chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And now it comes, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Is this a dialogue between two? No, here it is simply shown to us that what was in God was manifested in Christ, and this we acknowledge, and we say this afternoon, like we said this morning, only there where God met with mankind, there we as man can meet God. And there's only one place of the meeting of God with mankind, in Jesus Christ our Lord. All who follow and believe the Lord receive eternal life. I couldn't help thinking of the comparison with the Antichrist. And I will read you something here from the fourth seal. After all, it's also the Word of God, a precious word. The Antichrist started so nicely, but then it's written in the fourth seal in Revelation chapter 6 from verse 7. Revelation chapter 6 from verse 7. And when the Lamb had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts, and so forth. To me, it's only about one thought here. Jesus Christ has come to give us life that we might have it more abundantly. Divine, eternal life. all who are destined for heaven follow him, who were chosen before the foundation of the world to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. The Antichrist has a strange name, the opposite of that what Christ is. Christ is life, and the name of the Antichrist is death. Death and hell followed him. All who go down to hell follow the Antichrist and die the second death, the spiritual death, and all who were ordained for eternal life. I read it to you so that you know that it is written. Acts 13. Thanks be to God for his eternal word. Thanks be to God for the book of Acts. Thanks be to God for every holy word. Praise be to his name. Acts 13, verse 46. Just that you know that we don't invent things, but that it's really written. Here it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, the Jews. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Amen. Amen. This is the counsel of God. Some may wonder and ask why. They say, if God has known all things beforehand, why then must we go out to preach? Don't you think I would prefer this to rather rest here? We must go. It's the divine commission. But here it is about this thought. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Of the Gentiles and of the Jews, from all peoples, tongues and nations, from all colors, whoever they might be, God has really, thus it is written, already from the time of Abraham, in thee all kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. Not only one, but all. And all means all. And so the Lord, from all colors, tongues, nations, peoples, whoever they might be, he will have a wonderful bouquet. Many will be there. And it says here so wonderfully, when they heard this, and did you notice how it is formulated here? But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, what was it about? About the word of God. And they didn't want to hear the word of God, and therefore they could not receive eternal life. And therefore the turning from the Jews to the Gentiles, all who were ordained to eternal life believed. The Lord knows his own, and his own know him. He reveals himself to them, and also they know him as the one who he is. The Lord has come to redeem his own. What is written in John 17? All whom you have given me, they will come to me, and no one can come to me except the Father draws him first. We have not come by ourselves. There was such a mighty draw, a draw of God. We could not resist at all. We have been drawn. How is it written in the Song of Solomon? Draw me, and I will run after thee. What a wonderful word of God. Everything came from Him. Everything arranged by Him. And we let ourselves be placed into this divine order. Tell me, shouldn't we be thankful for it? That God has led it in such a way that we in these days have the full clarity about all of the plan of salvation of God. That as far as we can overlook it right now, that there are no problems, no riddles that should be still solved. Maybe in our own lives, but not what concerns God and God's word and God's plan. His word, yes, the mysteries that were hidden since the foundation of the world, God most certainly revealed. I believe Brother Branham could have used the same formulation as Paul used it. To me, being the least, the mystery of God that was hidden to mankind before the world, it was revealed to me. And because we have let ourselves be tuned in by God into this direction, not into Branham's direction, this I want to emphasize strongly, into God's direction. As God tuned him, so we let ourselves be brought into conformity with the revealed word of God. And for this we are grateful to God. And so we also understood this word that Paul writes to the Corinthians. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who are we? Who was crucified anyway? And then he comes to the point and says, I have planted, Apollos has watered, and God has given the increase. The same we say today. What does the prophet Isaiah say? Who gives the seed to the sower? Who has given us God's seed that we can sow the seed? God has given it, and the divine seed received, and it comes forth, and all who are ordained to eternal life receive it. But also the other one, he brings in his harvest, and all who are ordained to go down with him, they follow him. And I tell you, his followers are many. We cannot change it. We are glad that we may belong to the little flock of which it is written, it is your Father's good pleasure to give to the little flock the kingdom. Rather, with few in glory than with many down there. This you can believe me. And then we are again comforted and don't worry at all. But we wished with all our hearts that many more would be snatched away from this arch enemy who do not belong there. May God grant it. You all know how it is. The masses are sometimes pulled away without they want it. We experienced this in the Third Reich. How many have participated who afterwards thought, my goodness, what have we done? They had no time to think. May God give some still time, a little bit of time, to reconsider what they do, where they go, what their aim is. And when the Lord is gracious to us and wants to use us for it, then we are ready to present this wonderful offer of grace of our God to the whole world. I wished it would become true. May God bless us all. This is the day. This is the hour. This is the time that the Lord has made for us, for you and for me. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. Amen. Once again, we want to emphasize it. What we read today, what was hidden in God, the Creator, from eternity, but what was purposed by Him as a plan, this is accomplished through Jesus Christ with the Church and comes to the completion. And by the grace of God, the Lord revealed everything. He opened the seals and revealed the mysteries. We are grateful to God for His servant and prophet, whom He has sent. And He said, whoever receives a prophet whom I send in my name, he receives me. This the Lord also said, after all the Old Testament prophets, after the ministry of John the Baptist was long time finished. Amen. Amen. Whoever receives a prophet whom I send, he will receive a prophet's reward. We will all receive it, because we received the prophet of God. And by it we received God. For God sent His prophet with His word. By it we received the Lord. What did Jesus say? Whoever receives you receives me. He who hears you hears me. That's how it is written. That's how it is until this day. And the Lord said, if they have heard my word, they will also hear your word. Amen. Oh, thanks be to God. We always remember every word of God which is written. And we want that the Spirit of God can work freely as He likes. We don't want to quench Him, but giving God the opportunity. If something shall still be added to that what was already said, we are always ready for it. But usually it will be so that by the word, really the will of God and the mysteries of God are so laid open as they cannot be made clearer. It's the Spirit of God. But there's one scripture that we may sing unto God with psalms, with songs, that we come into a worship, into a praise and worship. It can be in all tongues, in old and new tongues, just as God gives it, in harmony of the Spirit. I'm so grateful to the Lord. Amen, Brother Kupfer. Amen. It would have been nicer, we would have said it all at once. But even we don't say it all, I believe we are all thankful. Thankful for the faithfulness of God. Thankful for His word. It has become an open, a revealed, a living word. Thank God for it. And in that moment, where this word strikes us with the same inspiration as it struck the prophets and apostles when they received it, then comes dynamic into the mechanic. And then I don't know what will happen. Almighty God, You have heard this request. And I pray very consciously for our sister. Firstly, that she is healed in her spirit. Secondly, that she is healed in her soul. Thirdly, that she is healed in her body. And Almighty God, who You know every heart, before whom all thoughts are open, You know how I mean it. Give healing in spirit, soul and body. I can promise to the sister, when she is healed in spirit and soul, then she will have no more bodily problems. The trouble is in the soul, and the problem in the spirit. and then the body will be well. Lord Almighty God, I pray with all my heart, take away all pious spirits from your people and give us only one spirit, the Holy Spirit. We can do without all the other spirits. They only make us mad. My God, in the name of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, we claim the blood-bought multitude, that every spirit departs by the power of God, by the authority of the Word, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Take possession of all of us by your Spirit. Then everything will be well. Lord my God, I pray, hear us. And I thank you that you answered us. Now I ask you for one more thing, that nobody speaks one word about the kind of this prayer or that what was expressed in it, but that he ponders on it and examines himself in the presence of God, whether we really are led by the Spirit of God, as we sometimes think, or whether other spirits fool us, and this in a most pious way. Lord, as we prayed together, all pious, all religious, all spirits shall depart. Your Spirit, O God, may He rule in our midst. May your Spirit come upon your people, the holy anointing, to make the holy word alive and to let it become the power of God. Lord, now it was spoken out. Help me and help us all to always discern, not to look for the mistake in any person, but to examine ourselves and to believe, and then you will make it well. Faithful God, my heart is touched to thank you. To thank you for the great privilege that we have heard your word from your holy mouth in this generation, freshly revealed from the throne. O God, who are we? What are we? We are that what you made out of us, sons and daughters of God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your lovely presence, O Lord. And yet we pray for all who have unanswered questions, who have to make decisions. Dear Lord, we want to have true compassion, not to feel pity, but to have compassion, divine inner compassion, that we are so joined with one another that the trouble of the brother or of the sister would be our own trouble. O God, join us in this way, with this bond of divine love, so firm, so deep, for it is the bond of perfection. Faithful God, he who wants to come to perfection in Christ, he must let himself be embraced by this bond of perfection, by this bond of divine love, being embraced by it, being tied together as one heart and one soul, one body, one Spirit, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. O my Lord, once again, I thank you so much for everything. We ask you also for your blessing for all of Europe, for the whole world, especially for Eastern Europe, O Lord, beloved Savior. You loved all, from all peoples, tongues, and nations, whom you destined to see your glory. And we ask you, open unto us the doors. Let us know it, O Lord, when and where you want to use us. Bless in France all who heard your word. Bless in Belgium all who heard your word. Bless everywhere. Bless in Poland, in Czechoslovakia, Romania, Russia, down to Bulgaria, Lord. O God, bless all over. Dear Lord, we pray also for China. We pray for all nations, for all tongues. Oh, give a breakthrough. Give a breakthrough with the violence of God. We are at your disposal. If you don't find another one, here we are, Lord. Take us and use us for the glory of your holy name. Amen.